org today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On hour two of the Paracast, what a fast hour. It took almost 40 minutes. Dr. John Brandenburg joining us. We're talking about the mysteries of Mars and the mysteries of Earth. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris, why don't you pick up on this, discussion?
Well, this is really fascinating to me because if you look at some of the really good research that's been done, including yours, the first quarter of the book goes in, into quite a bit of detail on the role that the whole concept of Mars has played in human culture. And that's a fascinating subject, just you know, as a standalone subject. But maybe there's something to that.
We're not only genetically perhaps Martian, but our entire culture has been kind of drawn and fixated on the planet Mars from ancient times. And Mars was the driver of the scientific revolution because of its peculiar orbit that fascinated Kepler. He and even Copernicus was drawn to the heliocentric model of the solar system by the orbit of Mars because, for one thing, it's very difficult to ignore this big red star that appears and then disappears. Venus, the evening star, is very beautiful, but it pretty much stays close to the sun. It's either in the morning or in the evening. It never gets far from the sun and doesn't change its brightness that much. But Mars goes from being very dim, almost, you know, disappearing for a while behind the sun, to being brilliant at sunset. It rises right at sunset when it's in opposition. And several wars have started when Mars is close to Earth, like World War I, for instance. And the Yom Kippur War in 1973 started when Mars was close to the Earth.
Strange coincidences, or can we find some mystical connection?
Oh, it's very mundane, actually. A lot of these people, especially dictators in the Middle East and in Europe during the early 1900s, they consulted astrologers. And if they felt like having a war and Mars was close to the Earth, their astrologers would, of course, egg them on, saying Mars is favorable.
Of course, Mars is the god of war.
The god of war.
So how did that legend begin that Mars was the god of war?
Apparently in ancient Egypt and Mesopotamia, simply because of its red color. Well, one interesting difference is the Aztecs kind of ignored Mars. They looked at Venus, which is the really bright one, and instead of being the goddess of love, it was the god of war because it was bright. But the Japanese, one of the other interesting things I picked up on in doing this research for this book is Japan kept turning up. Percival Lowell was kind of trying to get out of an arranged marriage, so he went to Japan. And he spent several years in Japan, wrote several books about it. And everywhere, of course, he went in Japan, there was this flag with a white field with a big red dot in it. And while in Japan, in a very exotic yet very advanced civilization, he became intrigued with Mars. And most of the scientific progress of the last 100 years in terms of space travel was driven by the fact that Lowell was convinced there was a civilization on Mars, the canals. Other people saw the canals, but he mapped them. He built probably the best observatory on Earth for a while.
Just right up the road from me.
What's that?
It's right up the road from me. I'm down in Camp Verde. It's right up on the hill.
Oh, yeah, Flagstaff. And it was the best sighted and had a big, big modern telescope. No one could argue with him when he said, oh, I see all these canals, and he mapped them. And this got H.G. Wells intrigued with the idea of a civilization on Mars. And H.G. Wells was an expert on human behavior. And he said, well, if the Martians are like us, they're going to invade us. So just like the British Empire had. So he wrote War of the Worlds because of Lowell. And the person who read War of the Worlds was Robert Goddard. And Goddard became fascinated with the planet Mars. He wanted to build a spaceship to go to Mars. So he made the first high-performance rockets, liquid-fueled. They could, and he started launching his rockets in order to build things that could go to Mars. And people started complaining because it was making a lot of noise. So he decided to move someplace where nothing ever happened.
Guess so where?
He moved to Roswell, New Mexico in 1930. And everyone in this country was ignoring his work, but the German intelligence was interested in rockets. They infiltrated his team of technicians, so they passed all of his design secrets to Wernher von Braun. So Goddard actually helped design the V-2 missile, even though he didn't know it at the time. And the V-2 convinced all of the world powers, because no nuclear weapons, that if you had something like a V-2 and you had a nuclear warhead, you could conquer the world. And so all of these big rockets for the Cold War were invented. But instead of lobbing nuclear weapons in a big nuclear war, what we ended up doing was using those same rockets to go to Mars and investigate it.
That's Unfortunately, our space program has become a big mess. It looks like very few of us on this show are going to be living when and if we go to Mars. So what happened to the space program? All this fascination with Mars and space travel, what went wrong?
Well, there
money.
Is it's money, but also the first probes to Mars saw a bunch of craters, and people freaked out because they expected to see canals. Instead, they saw craters. It looked like Mars was like the moon. And so they, instead of being convinced that Mars was a living planet, maybe with a civilization on it, they went completely, they overreacted. And the people who said, oh, Mars is like the moon, took over the space program. So they've been basically telling everybody that Mars is dead all these years. And in fact, one Mars scientist even told me that I said, you found signs of life in this one Mars rock. Why haven't you found any more? And he said, I'm afraid to find more because I was criticized so bitterly by these people for finding, you know, for saying I'd found life signs in these Mars rocks. And I talked to one of the Mars scientists who did the NASA study where they found the Mars life signs in ALH-A401. And he said to me, he said, I can understand people criticizing our work. He said, what I don't understand is why they're so angry when they do it. People, basically, a lot of scientists formed a mob, basically, to go out and get these people. They did not want to find life on Mars. And you'd think, what a wonderful thing would be for our space program if these life signs were further explored and proven, but there is a sentiment against it. And one of the reasons I wrote this book is to kind of shake up Mars science. The planet is ripe for a revolution.
There you go. Instead, our space program went on to build a Rolls Royce to deliver groceries, basically.
Well, it built a space station. There's one thing you have to realize. The space program is actually part of our national defense. It's in the Cold War, deterrence was psychological. You had to basically, every time we sent something to Mars or landed something on Mars, the Russians would note this. For one thing, we had done something they couldn't do.
So it was leapfrogging, but we'll have to go into that in a moment. We'll go into leapfrogging and the Americans and the Russians and all that.
Absolutely.
With Dr. John Brandenburg, the co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free WhoisGuard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy to use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge. Costly pump outs and repairs and remove septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We return with Dr. John Brandenburg. The book is coming out in February, but we have a preview of it right now. It's called Life and Death on Mars, The New Mars Synthesis. And I guess we're focusing here now a little bit on the way the Americans and Russians treat the space program, but really it was mostly the Americans wanting to beat the Russians. That's why we went to the moon, nothing else, right?
That's right. And even a lot of the great exploration, the classic era, the Columbus finding the New World, the Europeans were trying to outflank the Turkish Empire. So everything had a military component to it, as well as the idea of the spirit of adventure and looking for new trade routes. There was a big military threat from the Turkish Empire at the time of Columbus that all of Europe was worried about. The Turks had tried to take Vienna three different times, and they ultimately failed, but only after the Spanish had gotten rich off the New World and supplied a lot of troops to the defense of Europe against the Turks. So just going to the moon, to not just to go to the moon, but also to impress the world that we're technologically superior to the Russians, that's kind of an old tradition in exploration. It's kind of a scientific Olympics, if you like. In ancient Greece, they would have Olympics so everybody could show how brave and tough they were. So they wouldn't have wars. They would instead have Olympic Games. And the space program became sort of like that. But the focus on Mars as a planet where we would probably be most likely to find Earth-like life drove a lot of the exploration of Mars. And then when the Viking landers supposedly didn't find life, they basically wrote Mars off. However, the people who said Mars is like the moon, eventually the data showed that they were wrong. Mars was far more Earth-like than anyone had guessed, but in the past, not in the present. So they, instead of canals, they found deep water channels in an old ocean bed. And instead of some big cities, they found other things, let us say, including signs that there was some big nuclear event on Mars after its climate collapsed.
Okay, now a nuclear event would not be something that would be done artificially.
Well, a scientist always tries to put together the simplest hypothesis that involves the least number of actors. William of Ockham. And basically his original statement is not the simplest hypothesis, because life is complicated, and he knew that. He said the least number of actors, the least number of entities, he called them. Certain situations come up and you say, cherchez la femme, look for the woman. That's not the simplest hypothesis, because it involves something very complex, human beings. But it involves an entity. And you can reduce things to the least number of entities. On Earth, for instance, in uranium deposits in Africa, it's been discovered in the last couple decades that nature itself embarked on its own nuclear power program. These uranium deposits a billion years ago were basically reactor grade, because uranium-235 decays in time with about a billion year half-life. So you had uranium deposits very rich, and groundwater would get into them, and they would actually start functioning in little areas like nuclear reactors. In fact, they would run so ferociously, they would get hot and drive all the water out, and then the reaction would shut down because the water slowed down the neutrons.
If only we could control them.
That's right. Well, nature, they found five different sites where this happened. Now, each of these reaction zones was only about as big as your couch in your living room. They were pretty small, but still they're amazed that none of them blew up. They ran along for millions of years in these cycles of cooling off, having water in them, starting nuclear reactions, getting hot, driving the water out, the reaction shuts down. They also trapped all their nuclear waste, by the way. And people are still marveling that none of the nuclear waste got out of these zones. They imprisoned it in a kind of aluminum clay. So people are actually studying that to see if we can use that. But apparently the same thing happened on Mars, only it was a much larger zone of reaction. And apparently it went unstable. And as they say in the reactor business, it explosively disassembled, leaving a large radioactive scar on Mars in a region called Mare Acidalium. And in the book that you have, you see the maps in the color plate section.
Right.
You see there's a region in radioactive potassium and also thorium. There's this big spot on both maps, and the tendrils from that explosion, like streamers, reach all the way around the planet, and there's another hot spot on almost exactly the opposite side of the planet. The antipode, meaning the shockwaves, went all the way around the planet and collided on the far side, depositing a bunch of radioactive debris. This would have been a planetary-wide disaster. The simplest hypothesis, the one involving the least number of actors, is that this was a natural event, a bizarre one, but natural, like the natural radioactive reactors in Africa. Only this one was larger and exploded, unlike the ones in Africa that maintained a stable cycle. And the riddle of Mars is that when they noticed that Mars was slightly radioactive on its surface, and they thought it was just natural uranium and thorium and things like that that are naturally radioactive, then when they started checking the Mars meteorites, they discovered that the Mars meteorites had less uranium and thorium in them than Earth rocks. So what they realized, the surface of Mars was covered with a thin layer of radioactive material, as if spread by an explosion, because the Martian rocks that we have as meteorites are believed to come from a few meters below the surface. They're not supposed to be surface rocks that tend to just vaporize when the big rock hits. So also they found that the Martian atmosphere has peculiar isotopes in it from argon and xenon that are the product of nuclear reactions. And these are hyperabundant in the Mars atmosphere compared to Earth.
I'll tell you what, our sponsors will be hyperabundant if we don't honor them.
Absolutely.
Dr. John Brandenburg is joining us. The book is called Life and Death on Mars, The New Mars Synthesis. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaway, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We return more on the incredible mysteries of Mars. Nothing paranormal here, strictly scientific. The book from Dr. John Brandenburg coming out in February is called Life and Death on Mars, the New Mars Synthesis. Chris, you want to pick up on this?
Yeah, one of the things that I found very fascinating about, it's like a detective story, the way that you put the book together. And what I really appreciate most about it is you don't have to be grounded in any particular scientific discipline, that you did a very good job of writing the book for someone that's a little up to speed and intelligent, but doesn't need a real heavy background in science. And I find that.
Thank you. That was what I was trying to do. Of course.
Well, you succeeded.
Publisher Dave Childress encouraged me to do that.
You succeeded, and I think that was a very good approach. One of the things that I find very intriguing is that you have such a background in aerospace, and as we mentioned at the top of the show, you're a plasma physicist. What actually got you interested in this whole idea of creating a synthesis on all the various tendrils of information that science has been able to accrue over the years on the Martian mystery? Did you have some sort of eureka moment or an instant where you knew that this is something you were going to have to get into?
I felt it was sort of a mission. Honestly, my eureka moment was when I saw the work of Vince DiPietro and Greg Molinar on Cydonia.
That's what I thought.
And well, to me, if you look at what they found, if the first question you ask is, how long did Mars have an Earth-like environment? It was obvious from the water channels they found that Mars was like Earth in a very distant past. And then you kind of wondered, well, okay, how similar to Earth in Mars past? You know, war conditions, and how long do they last? And the problem in the Mars community is that they are so conservative. Mars is a very dangerous place for a scientist right now because
it's got a lot of baggage.
It's got a lot of baggage. It, for one thing, as I said, the cultural implications of anything on Mars are so strong that if you find life on Mars and survive, then you have changed the entire, it's like a second Copernican revolution. Mars is the first Earth-like planet in the universe that we can get to. And if we find life there, especially past advanced life, that means the whole universe is alive.
Well, what do you think about the reimaging of Cydonia and the face on Mars? I mean, what's your official?
We presented a paper at one of the American Geophysical Union meetings. And I discussed this in A Dead Mars, Dying Earth, which was about the idea of Mars being a failed biosphere, comparing that to Earth, that, you know, we're abusing the Earth's environment. We presented our analysis of the new Mars images that it actually confirmed our hypothesis that they were artificial. We found nostrils in the nose of the face, and the we found a brick collapse zone on the... This is going to be discussed at length in another book to be coming out later. Right now, we're basically gathering more data. But we presented this at this conference. One of the guys from JPL showed up. He was this older guy, and he completely lost it when he saw our presentation. He started screaming. He threatened Vince DiPietro with his fists.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you. In fact, Vince was mad at me because I got in between. The guy started screaming at Vince DiPietro saying, "You're calling me, are you calling me a liar? You don't know what you're talking about." And Vince just said, he's a tough Italian, he said, "Yeah, I do know what I'm talking about."
Yeah, bring it on, dude.
Bring it
on. Yeah, this is high drama.
He said, "I'll deck you by God," and I the burden of civility stepped in, and I stepped, you know, in front of the guy, and I said, "You know, sir, calm down. This is a scientific meeting, you know, it's not a bar." Yeah,
this is high drama for a scientific.
We think of scientists as being so conservative, and they can get pretty wacky.
Oh, no, you don't know science the way I... Science sometimes involves kind of almost back-alley behavior. Some guys win arguments just simply by intimidation. They can hold up the progress of science for years.
That's what they've been doing. A good job of it, too, especially in the UFO field.
Oh, well, that's a whole... Well, actually, I discussed that in the book a little bit.
Well, you know what? I'm going to ask you about that then.
Okay, we
have the magic UFO word. And I'll say this because...
You knew it had to come up sometime, John.
And I got to warn you in advance, next week...
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, next week our guest is going to be Stanton Friedman.
Stanton Friedman, give him my very best regards.
Okay, special announcement. We just worked this out. Chris hasn't heard this yet, but now he knows what he's doing next week.
Okay. Stan, if he's finished John Brandenburg's science fiction novel about the UFO cover-up.
Okay, well, speaking about that, okay, you have a science fiction novel that you did about a UFO cover-up.
I decided the whole UFO thing was best to handle in a science fiction scenario. I write science fiction under a pen name, and I clearly stuff you read in a book that says John Brandenburg, that means I've gone to scientific conferences, presented all the stuff, gotten the feedback from other scientists, etc. When I write on as Victor Norgard, my alternative personality.
Your alter ego, your secret identity.
My alter ego.
You put on the mask.
I put on the mask, and yes, then you have beautiful damsels in distress who are also UFO abductees and psychic, etc. I wrote a novel called Morningstar Pass, The Collapse of the UFO Cover-Up. We're actually going to put it out as a trilogy because the the first publisher put it in too small of a print, so it fit within 700 pages. So we're going to break it up into a Fellowship of the Ring kind of thing. Three sections. Each is a separate novel, a trilogy.
So this is for the movie.
And what's that? Oh, well, several people have told me it will make a superb movie. And it is a no-holds-barred exploration of the whole UFO thing.
Okay, well, you're looking at the UFO field from a fictional standpoint.
Well, I chose a fictional standpoint because... So I told one of my friends in the UFO field, I said, Don Ecker, I said, Don, the problem with the UFO field is there are no facts. There are only reports. You know, we have what look like leaked classified documents. We have people who believe they've been abducted. We have people find their cows mutilated after seeing UFOs out on the range, on and on. But they're, you know, the real facts are only known apparently by the government itself. And it has decided not to be forthcoming about it. You can also understand, in the novel, the UFO cover-up collapses, just like Watergate or Iran-Contragate. And it collapses because someone inside it decides to leak a bunch of documents to the two women news anchors on like a...
Our show is going to collapse if I don't break.
Sure.
So hang out, John. John Brandenburg joining us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt.
Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait.
There's more. You can buy Liberty Snickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Snickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and 5 other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Extend your life with
Extendivite. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
You notice that voice gets weirder and weirder as we progress. The UFO field can be pretty weird. John Brandenburg is joining us. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. And as I said earlier, Stanton Friedman is going to be on next week. And we'll maybe ask him those questions.
The man who makes UFO ufology respectable for a scientist to talk about.
Okay, that's fair enough. Okay, but now you're coming out here. You have a fiction book about UFOs, a fiction trilogy.
The whole cover-up.
About the cover-up. But is there any reality we can find there? Because, you know, one of the things that happens in the UFO field is they take something that is a fiction book or meant to be fiction, and they say, no, it's really factual.
Well, I wrote it as a science fiction novel. It is a what-if novel. For instance, Roswell actually happened. And then if you just take the whole public record of the whole UFO thing, suppose the government knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that we were not alone in the universe, that spacefaring extraterrestrials had come here. And then you ask yourself, why would the government keep that such a closely guarded secret? And you have to kind of connect the dots. The book, the science fiction novel, was a way I tried to kind of connect the dots of the UFO mystery. For instance, do you know what was stored at Roswell?
Well,
the Army Air Base.
Is that a
rhetorical
question?
All of the world's
or?
Nuclear weapons were stored there.
At the time, yeah.
Yes. All 5 nuclear weapons that the United States possessed were stored at Roswell. And you wonder, if there was a crash at Roswell. Well, in fact, part of the one subplot of the book is these two women, because of the leaked documents they get, they actually track down people from Roswell that were actually there and knew exactly what happened and take their testimony before the government can react. And, but it's part, risque soap opera and, it's part science fiction, because what I'm trying to do, it's based on the idea of mediocrity. Mediocrity is the foundation of SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
can I quote you?
Yes. Well, mediocrity is not as it is as funny as it sounds, but not for the reason you think. Mediocrity.
Well, it's just uninspired thinking. I mean, come on, looking for
ET
with radio waves. I mean, hello.
I know it. Well, they have UFOs fly right over their site. They ignore that. They're looking for radio waves, by God. And you got to remember, they're radio waves from someplace 20 light years away. That's very safe.
Yeah.
Somebody snooping around our nuclear weapon stockpile. That's a little scary.
Right. They're flying over the SETI complex. The only way they'd pay attention is if they got anally probed.
Well, anyway, the principle of mediocrity underlies all SETI research, and it's the idea that we are a normal part of the universe. The human race is not remarkable. It's mediocre. It's average. The Earth is average. The human race, with all of its various forms of behavior, is average in the universe. And if you believe it or not, if you read the UFO reports, especially the abduction reports, it all makes sense in terms of mediocrity. And mediocrity, by the way, means that if you want to know what intelligent life in the universe looks like and behaves like, turn on the news. Everything from North Korea to our Congress.
Well, if I was E.T. at this point watching that stuff, I'd say blow the place up.
Or just wait and let them do it themselves.
I don't want to give away too much of the book, but the women, these two women, of course, you know, there's the hero who's actually part of the UFO cover-up. I don't want to give away too much of the book, but these two women succeed in bringing down the UFO cover-up with the documents they've been supplied. And one of them discovers that she's an abductee in the process, which is very tragic. And, but, you know, one of them says, well, we thought that people from outer space would be, better, more noble than the human race. And she said, imagine our disappointment in finding out the truth. The rest of the universe is just as screwed up as this place is.
Well, that explains an awful lot.
As above, so below.
Anyway, I don't want to give away too much of the novel.
But I always want to ask you here the truth behind the novel. Do you at all believe that some of this stuff that you're talking about in that novel is real?
I tried to put everything in that novel that I either heard rumored to be true based on my, I spent 50 years in Washington, D.C., and I heard a lot of things. Let me just put it that way.
Mm.
And I went to a lot of UFO meetings. I talked to a lot of abductees about their experience. I talked to some ranchers who had their cattle mutilated and were convinced that UFO activity was involved. And I tried to put the whole picture, I tried to connect all the dots. And it ain't pretty. I will warn you, this novel is not for the faint-hearted. Part of it, the action occurs in a super secret alien base that is hosted by the U.S. government.
But are you thinking
where
here?
Did you place that base?
Let's look right
now.
San Luis Valley. Well, I'll tell you the really big joke.
Oh, no, I really got it.
I did not know the San Luis Valley was UFO Central when I wrote the novel. I picked it off a map. Because I thought, I looked at where several UFO bases were supposed to be located, and they were all on the Continental Divide. And so I just thought, well, let's imagine the biggest one is not on anyone's map. And so I picked the San Luis Valley, and I only found out after I'd finished the rough draft of the book, I thought, well, I better do a little research and make sure I got the scenery right. And imagine my surprise at finding out that I placed the UFO base just where UFO Central is located.
It's the hottest spot in North America.
What?
It's the hottest spot in North America per capita. I spent 13 years investigating there, so I...
Oh, I went and visited there recently, and I felt like I went there driving, and it was a little bit, got a little bit like dusk, and I thought I was back in Middle Earth. I expected to see a battalion of orcs blocking the highway any moment.
Oh, yeah. Well, everything else has been reported. Why not orcs?
Well, I know. It was a very interesting. The people there were really nice to me. I had stopped at one place.
Well, you got to read my books on the Valley, The Mysterious Valley.
Did you write The Mysterious Valley?
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote a trilogy of books about all the stuff going on there.
I read your article in Adventures Unlimited.
Right.
It's fascinating.
There's a lot of bizarre stuff going on there.
I thought, I got to go there. But anyway, that's where the big UFO base is.
I'm trying to push this here a little bit more detail here. Do you really feel in your heart of hearts that maybe there's more than just a tiny kernel of truth to what you're writing about in this book?
Oh, yeah. I believe I tried to write a very authentic book about it, as real as I could make it. I wanted it to be a real life. I wanted it to be almost kind of a docudrama. Of course, I extrapolate what happens when the UFO cover-up collapses.
What do you think is a real UFO cover-up? Does such a thing really exist?
I'm convinced of it.
Okay.
I mean, as a scientist, and as just somebody who's been around, I'm convinced we're not alone in the universe. I know we're not the only people who can travel through space.
And her is certainly not the only people who can mess things up. We have Dr. John Brandenburg. We're not messing it up. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.